Hello, hello, and welcome, welcome, welcome to WDGS on your podcast station. And I tell you, I'm at the top of the morning. It is now 3:23 a.m. That's right, in my demographic location and station. And my, oh my, do I have a word from God? And I literally mean from God, because after God awakened me, and oftentimes, as many of us do, we immediately go and make a visit to the reading room. We go pay a water bill. And as I commenced to do so, the word of the Lord came unto me. And it said, little will become much. I kept hearing the Spirit of God say, little will become much. When, whatever you're doing, if you put it in the Master's hand. There's another scripture that I'm reminded of. It say, little shall become a thousand, and a small one can be a strong nation. But all come in God's timing. And this is one of the things I tell you, God's timing. When you have that harmony to rest in God's timing, you know, Abraham, he had this harmony to rest in God's timing. Even though he was up in age, and I mean up in age, when God had him to uproot himself and move away from his family. But in God's timing, and even though God made a promise to Abraham, the God that we serve, the Almighty God, even though Abraham did not visually see the manifestation of the promise, I know that if he's in the bosom of the heavens, guess what? He already know. He know that people are still mentioning his name. One thing I want to say to you is that there is so much power. I mean, really wonder working power. When it comes to really having an intimate relationship and a committed relationship with God. You know, when you date someone or you're married to someone, or even being a parent to someone, generally that's where we will position our greatest commitment throughout our journey in life. People, I've noticed, they'll commit themselves to their positions that they've been granted to be parents, to be spouses, even to be partners. But how much of a commitment do a person really invest in their relationship with God? I think a lot of times, I notice that people, they have a casual relationship with God, and they feel that it's okay because God knows all about them. And he totally understands that he is not top on the pole for them to be able to interact with. He's not top on the chart. He's not number one on their chart. He rank on down. And when you look at life from that perspective, you will always look at a deficit. You will look at little. You will beg. You will borrow. You may even steal. And I'm not just talking about stealing material things. I'm talking about stealing other people's ideas, other people's suggestions. Because when you make God your top priority, you know what he'll do? He will allow the little that's in you to become much. All you got to do is put it in the Master's hand. I want to give a shout out to all the participants last night that participated in our annual. I only do this once a year. And I didn't do it last year, but it, because of popular requests, I did it this year, and because the Holy Spirit led me. And although the class may have had little, but let me tell you, that little, I saw much coming to each and every one of those participants in the class. I saw healing coming. I saw deliverance coming. I saw prosperity coming. It was some insights. And sometimes, you know, when things don't look the way that you want them to look, and they don't appear the way that you think they should appear, it's because we have to wait on the timing of God. One of the icebreakers in the class was named three wishes. You know, the Bible used the word wish. When you look at 3 John, and I believe it's verse 2, it say that when the writer said that God wish above all things that we all should prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prosper. So that right there was three wishes. So I asked everybody that was willing to engage, name three wishes, if they could get those wishes to manifest, to come true. But the power was speaking them in the atmosphere and knowing by faith that God is going to manifest. The word for the class last night was predestined. I'm not going to give you, because we enjoyed the class for an hour, and I'm not going to give you every single word for word, but I will share with you some of the inserts. And one of the things was understanding being predestined. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Do you understand the power of the word predestined? When you are predestined, that means that whatever occurred, listen, you got to grab this now. Not everything, but your life, because once you come into the world, you have free will choices. So being predestined means that it's nothing you could have done to prevent coming into the world. And everybody who's predestined, they are here for an appointed and assigned time. Now, I do believe, because the Bible speaks of it, I do believe based upon our choices that we can live a premature life. What does that mean? That means that we can make choices that can cause our lives to be sifted out before the initial time that God mandated for us to live. That's why choices that we make are very, very critical. The choices we make to create doom or damage in our lives. The people that you listen to me, you got to grab this. There are so many people now, they're looking for a motivational message. And I'm not knocking that. There's nothing wrong with that. But more than anything, I believe that the people that will make the best choices, live in the most predestined prosperity, are the people who already humble themselves to understand more than anything that you need an unfiltered word from God. That's right. An unfiltered word from God. And when you take the word of God, the Bible said, take my yoke and learn of me. And once you do that, you'll realize and begin to recognize you don't need nobody to pump you up with a motivational message. Oh, God, help me today. You don't need nobody to go with you and be in a clique or cliquish. You won't need nobody to tell you which direction to go, because God will order your steps if you exercise and execute the unadulterated word, which says acknowledge him in all thy ways and he will direct your path. And he might direct your path where it's only a few, and that few can migrate into thousands. But it's only when you learn the power of being predestined. I said to those in the class last night, because after the icebreaker, I asked everybody, what does predestined mean to them? What does it mean to you to really understand being predestined? That no matter what, listen to me, your life was mandated if you are living and you are breathing. Now, how long? I believe is determined by the choices that we choose to make. Whether or not we extend our life or whether or not we shorten our life. Now, clearly, one thing, if we listen to the unfiltered word of God, and that's without any schisms, any additions, any subtractions, it clearly says if you are obedient. And I'm not talking about obeying, because when you get grown, you got to do everything. Because sometimes you learn when you get grown that your parents can sometimes give you wrong advice if they wrong. Hello. But as a child, the Bible said a disobedient child will shorten their days. This is the unadulterated truth. And God does not discriminate. Sometimes I sit back and I see things that really hurt my heart. Very things that are tragic, things that happen. You know, I was watching the news yesterday, I believe, because some days I do the news. It's a feast or a famine. And I was looking at the local news, and this young child, this was a child, 10 years old. You don't hear me now. 10 years of age. He was killed looking out his window. There was a shooting that occurred in this city. And they said a little boy was looking out the window. And two other people were shooting at each other. And the stray bullet hit him. And he died. And I thought, how tragic at 10 years old. And this is the thing about the unadulterated truth. See, the truth is we need to own it, we need to face it, and we need to tell it. Because when we talking to God, he already know our truth. And no matter how emotionally we feel about things that occur and things that happen, my immediate thought was, Lord, have mercy. You know, people leave here for two reasons, I believe. Well, three. Let me say that. Three reasons. One, if they leave prematurely, I ask myself the question, was that a disobedient person? A disobedient child? Two, if the predestined time was going to occur, no matter what choices that they made. Some people leave here because God wants to show others his power. And this, and not always his power for everybody to get all these blessing plans, but his power to know that he ain't nobody to play with, okay? And people can sit back, they can get angry, they can get upset with God, but make no mistake, he is nobody to play with. I'm just telling you. And then the third reason people transition is because they have lived their life term, as the Bible gives in a description, which is normally 70 years. So according to good measure, what the Bible say, 70 is when a person reached 60 years of age. And then according to good measure, 10 more years will be 70. Anybody who exists past 70 is living on good time, and it's such a blessing to be able to live on good times and good terms. And then I do believe that when God has predestined a person appointed time, that is some time to let other people see. Now, I can tell you, because I had a cousin and she passed away, they say she passed away at the altar while she was in the midst of praying. Then I heard another report say she passed away at the hospital. But this is the thing. She used to say to me, that she did not want to live in the dispensation when the rapture entered into the earth. And I used to tell her, well, you sure? Because, you know, it's when a person said that's that they know they want to die. And they walk in this religious realm with God, and he will answer their prayers, because she was an effectual, fervent praying person. And she said, yes, I'm absolutely sure. She said, because I'm going to tell you something, Afrida. She said, when the rapture comes, she said, the Holy Ghost will be removed. And when the Holy Ghost is removed primarily from the earth. Now, this was her interpretation. She said, then people will be gashing at one another. People will be lovers of themselves. People will just be hating on each other. And for no reason but to just hate. People will harbor. People will hold. So I said, but baby sister, but you got children. She said, listen, I don't want to be in this world when the Holy Spirit is removed. Because it won't sustain people, Afrida. So all I could think about when I heard that she passed away at the altar praying is that she must have known that she didn't want to stay here anymore. And I honestly believe the same thing occurred with my grandmother when she transitioned. She passed away in her sleep. She was 60-some years old. See, when people don't reach the 70, they reach the 60, because that's what the Bible gives us. It says when you get to 60 years old, listen, you've met your mark. Now, then you can go on to 10, but you've made the 70 when you hit 60. So I said, well, God, you know, my grandmother, she left. And to me, that was like a young age, 63, I believe she was. And then God said, but she was ready. Because when she laid down to sleep, that's what she asked of me. And God took her in a peaceful sleep. She didn't have, they did an autopsy. She didn't have no sickness, no disease, no nothing. She just laid me down to sleep. And I guess she prayed to the Lord her soul to keep, and for her to die before she awakened, the Lord her soul to take, because she definitely lived a diligent life abiding in the word of God. She wasn't motivated by anybody but the word of God. And this is what I eyewitness, because nobody else around her that I personally knew and met carried themselves like her. Well, they didn't have anything bad to say about anybody. Now, I knew a lot of good saints back then and good Christian women as well as men, but I never met a single solitary person other than, and I'm not saying this because it's my grandmother, I'm saying this because it's the truth. And I couldn't wrap my mind around it, and I still can't wrap my mind around it. How can a person live in this earth for that many years and you never, listen to me, y'all got to grab this, I never heard her say one unkind word, one judgmental word concerning anybody. Never. Never. And she lived with a husband who was emotionally and verbally abusive as well as an alcoholic. But she never said an unkind word that my ears heard. And I tried my best, y'all. Listen to me. Because this is what she taught me. Now, I don't know about the rest of the children, but she taught me not to judge. She told me, do not judge anybody. She told me, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything. And I thought, that's just impossible. I'm just going to keep it 1,000 with y'all, because you know I'm going to keep it real. I thought that was one of the most impossible things, that I got to be able to never judge anybody. And to never be able to say an unkind word, like, really? I personally believe that's just was humanly impossible. And because I've always, even from a little child, one of the things I look for in people, are they hypocritical? And I couldn't understand, why would my grandmother teach me something unless she's able to do it herself? And I'm still like that. I mean, when people try to talk and tell me how to handle my business or tell me things, if you're going to teach somebody something or you're going to tell somebody something, if you out of order, listen, the least you could do is be doing it yourself. Don't tell me to do anything that you don't find easy for you to do. If a person going to tell me to pay my bills, they need to pay their bills. If a person going to tell me don't be late paying your bills, don't you be late. That's why I try to stay out that zone of dictating what anybody should do when it comes to spending their dime and their dollar. Because I got enough when I got to sit down and do it for myself. And I take care of my house, so I don't need to try to budget over in nobody else's business. I hope somebody grabbed that. I don't need to budget in nobody else's business. They money is not my money unless they give it to me. And then it ain't they money anymore. It become mine. And one thing about me, I'm going to always be guided by God. Whatever I place my seeds in the ground, I'm going to always be guided by God. Wherever I place my monetary seeds in the ground, my spiritual seeds in the ground, my words that are seeds in the ground, I'm going to be mindful. Now, back in the days, I wasn't as mindful because I would feed pearls to some swines. I'm just saying. They would take my words and they didn't have any value to them. They would eat them just like a bunch of slop given to a pig. That's what the Bible, that's what the scripture means. You sit around and you give your pearls, your valuable golden nuggets and words of wisdom to people, and it's just like swine that eat a bunch of slop. They don't understand the value. And let me tell you how you can determine that and detect that, because they never change. And sooner or later you'll find yourself and you'll be like, let me stop giving my pearls to them pigs, to them swines. Because if you look up a swine and see, they don't care what they put in their belly, just as long as if they belly full. They don't care who give them what they give them, long as they can get something. That's what swines do. They greedy. They just grab. When we was kids, we used to go to my Uncle Charlie's farm, and he had this big, tall, metal, silver corn storage. It was big and tall. I mean, we were so little, to me it looked like it almost reached the sky. And it was just full of corn. And the trucks would load it and just dump it in there. And we would have a little chute that you could pull it out. And we would take buckets of corn and we would get on the fence, because they had a fence that they had for the pigs, that, you know, a trap, a thing that they kept them in. And we would stand there and just throw that corn over in that pig pen. And it was a bunch of pigs. I'm talking about, he had a lot of pigs. And they would just take off running. And they would just bump each other, get in front of each other. I mean, just to watch how swines act to eat. And they didn't care. You could have thrown some corn, some vomit, some poop, some whatever you threw out there. Oh, God, help me today. That's why a lot of people don't eat swine, because swines eat anything you throw at them to eat. I never saw one of them pigs reject eating whatever we threw in there. But listen to me. When you have a swine mentality, then you don't know how to filter what's good that come in your head and what's not good. And what you digest that's good and not good. So mature Christians who live for the unadulterated truth of God's word, you reach a point and plateau to know that whatever you're feeding your information, whatever you're gleaming and you're growing from, don't do it with a swine mentality. You need to be able to filter what you digest in your mind, in your heart, and in your spirit. And when you have people pushing and prompting you and telling you stuff, and people, let me tell y'all something. I ain't never in my life thought that people, now they listen to, I seen people listen to alcoholics. And even though people say, well, you know, an alcoholic, what's that little saying they have, y'all? A drunk person speaks a sober mind, something of that effect. They may tell the truth, but you know, to me, I'm gonna tell you how I look at it. A drunk person, yeah, they speak a sober mind, but they speak people business. They tell a lot of things that's not their place to tell when they drunk, and they blame it on the alcohol. Now, when the Bible talks about alcohol and spirit, see, it's some types of alcohol, the Bible says strong drinks. That's why I say give it to a fool. And I don't care how people take things, because you know what? It's time out. For everybody, I'm going to repeat this, looking for a motivational message when you don't hear some unadulterated truth. You need to hear some unadulterated truth of the Word of God. And see, the Word of God now is in that season where people with little is going to become much. And people in the bondage and the struggle who don't want to listen to sound messages, to sound doctrine. Those are the people, I'm telling y'all, we're coming into some serious perilous times. And people will have money. The Bible says this. That's why you got to stay in your word. You got to get in there. You got to stick in there. And you got to stay in there. And when you've done all you can do to stand in that word, the Bible says still stand. There are going to be people that are going to make money and you will never see them prosper. They will make money and still lose. Oh, God, help me today. Let me repeat that. They will make money, earn money, have money, and still be in a deficit. Because what happens, see, this is where you get the word. The Bible said God will blow on people money. You can't know. You ain't got nothing to show for it. I'm just saying. Or you can have worked years and years and years and accumulated stuff and still have nothing to show for it. And this is why. Because people don't want to listen to sound doctrine. I've never seen so many people. They'll listen to somebody got an addiction. They'll listen to a drug addict. Sometimes quicker than they'll listen to a person who don't do drugs, whose mind and thoughts are clear. A person who stays prostrated before God. And they notice a person whose life is a living example to say, you know what? I know they don't have a lot of money like me every month, but then how am I prospering? See, instead of looking at those people for an example, they listen to the people, because you know how to guess the birds of the feather, they flock together. So the people who do drugs and drinking, they listen to one another. But they all find themselves stuck and stagnated. And they think that a motivational message is going to pull them out the hole. But let me tell you something. You don't need not one person to motivate you in order to be successful. Oh, God, help me today. Let me tell you about a man in the Bible named David. David had to encourage himself. He was out there in the wilderness. He was running from some people who was tracking and tracing his life to take his life. And so he didn't have not one person around to motivate him. Now, the person who was pursuing him, King Saul, he had a son named Jonathan. Now, Jonathan, he loved and befriended David. The Bible said he loved him like a brother. And he found David because the Lord predestined him to go and find him. And he provided him with needs of food to survive. And he knew what David was, even though his daddy, Jonathan's daddy, wanted to he wanted to even kill David. And not because David did anything to hurt him. And that's the dangerous thing anybody could do. You want to hurt somebody that did not even try to hurt you or did hurt you. But then King Saul got jealous. You don't hear me now. Jealousy. That's why the Bible says it's as cruel as the grave. Because people gave recognition to David and they didn't give it to King Saul. You know, it's a lot of people carrying them spirits. They'll fall out with folks. because somebody give more name calling and more attention to somebody, and then that other person will get that soil spirit and get envy and jealous. That's a bad, tainted, and toxic spirit. Because let me tell you, you need to read what happened to King Soil. He died a horrible death. And that's why I believe that people's choices, I'm back to that, can determine and dictate what's predestined. What is predestined is your life, not your choices. Oh, God, help me today. See, and this is the thing. I try to make my class a no judgment zone. But one thing I am certain of is that when God say our lives are predestined, that means they were meant to come to the earth and be to the earth and be in the earth for an appointed time. Now, from the time we're born to the time we transition, in between that, God gives us free will choices. And as your life is predestined to be here, for the appointed time, your choices can dictate and determine whether or not you leave prematurely or if you have a long life. So make sure you understand that. And I do believe when we get into the purpose, which is the next class, class number 2. Again, I only do this once a year, the purpose and plan class. And this year is going to be shorter because it's only going to be 3 classes. Again, last night we talked about predestined. And next Tuesday, we're going to talk about purpose. And then the last class, we're going to execute a plan to prosper. Because that's what the Bible encourages us to do. We are predestined for prosperity. If you look up the scripture, and I will put it in the footnotes, with that word predestined, is who God predestined. He foreknew. He gave these abilities of prosperity and sustainability. And when you understand that, I mean to the core and the essence of who you are, guess what'll happen? You will never fall out with anybody about anything. You will never allow your anger to make you sin. You will never find yourself not loving somebody. You will never need to stop and block anybody because you will look at everything from a predestined angle to know that whatever occurred, it was meant to be, as long as, now this is the key, you got to grab this and I'm going to put a pin, as long as, like I said in the class, what you're giving and what you're doing is to God's glory. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. If whatever choices, whatever decisions that I make, I'm doing it for the glory of God. See, God watches all of our integrity. And he has to know that we're doing the right thing for the right reason. And we're saying and doing the right things for the right reasons. And that reason is God. It's not because of people, because people didn't predestine us. And people don't have a heaven or hell to place us. But when you know that whatever choices and decisions you making, you're acknowledging God in all your ways. You're asking him to direct your path. And sometimes, you know what, you can put up and then God will tell you to shut up. And sometimes you can think it's time to go and God will say, no, it's time to stay. You can say sometimes it's time to go and God may say stop. I'm saying sometimes your life be like a yellow light. You have to yield. You have to yield, especially when it comes to temptation. And all temptation is not sexual sin. Sometimes God know if you're going to be tempted because you sit around the wrong people. Hello. With them tainted and toxic tongues. Them tainted and toxic spirits. And I'm telling y'all, I'm in this season where I can't entertain them. It doesn't matter what happened, what comes, what may. It's just that certain places and environments, you'll reach a season that you'll realize and recognize you cannot be a part of it. And God would not allow it. I don't care how much you want it. God will position you that he will not allow you to be able to enter into certain arenas, into certain atmosphere. It does not matter what the reason, what's the rhyme, or what's the cause. Somebody said this to me last night after the class. I called and checked on a person, and they was talking about whether or not they would make a trip that, you know, people are wanting to. And see, I don't try to guilt nobody into nothing. I let everybody make their free will choice. Because if God let us make it, I'm no bigger than God. And I ain't trying to take God's place. That's a danger zone. But I know when somebody tell me something, I'd be okay with that. I don't need to question them. I don't need to reiterate and re-ask and all this stuff. Now, I pass a message. But for me personally, I let people make up. The Bible said, be persuaded in your own heart. It's something about a person's spirit that try to strong arm somebody to do something because they want them to do it. I want people to do whatever they free will to do, because this is not my world. This is God's world. And this ain't man world. This God world. Some people get it twisted. But the person said to me how they was feeling. And they said, you know, I don't want to take my feelings and go to nobody's house. I don't want to take my feelings, and I'm paraphrasing, and go out of town and be in a position where I'm not comfortable with what I'm going through, you know, physically in my body. I'd rather I feel better when I'm home. I said, so y'all know me right quick. Look, I had to slide in a recall. And I said, well, remember back when I was trying to express that to you some years ago? And you wanted me to attend because they had talked about me attending a graduation. And I asked, what was the distance? How much walking would I have to do? And I said, you know what? I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable, because trying to keep up with me, I don't do a lot of walking around the grocery store. If it ain't on Walk Glider, I'm just saying, because Walk Glider, you walk while you stand in one place, then I can't partake. And all that walking, I said, people, somebody have to either leave me behind or wait on me if they don't have a shuttle to take me, because I'm not going to continue to injure a part of my body that I already encounter ailments with, and that's my ankles. I'm not finna walk that far with my ankles the way they are. See, I use wisdom. I'm not going to break myself all the way down for nothing. If God don't definitely, and God gave me wisdom, and God said, and you shouldn't. So I was saying this to the person some years ago, because I know they was in their feelings about me not participating. And so when the opportunity presented itself, because y'all know I don't like a hypocrite. Don't tell me what you give me a counsel or advice or negative energy about something when the tables turn. And that's something I need to do a podcast on. Self-experience is the best teacher. This is why I guess my grandmother used to say, don't judge nothing. Because you don't never know how you going to do it, how you going to react until you have to experience it yourself. So anyway, this is what they said to me, though. They said, I understand now. And see, that's why a lot of times we shouldn't judge a situation until we have had to encounter it for ourselves. And that even in itself, and I do, I'm guilty. And that's why I repent. I repent daily. I do. But the thing is, I try not to be a partaker of another person's sins. And that's according to Psalms chapter 1. You don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful or stand in the way of somebody doing right. And so I try to live a life to not cause another person to stumble. So if anything that could offend somebody, and I try to keep it out their face. The Bible says if eating pork offends somebody or eating meat offends somebody, then it don't say it's a sin to do it. He said just don't do it in front of them. So this is where we be mindful. But I definitely want to say to you on this message today, again, thank you to all the participants that participated in the class. I appreciate it. And I want you to take this to understand this scripture, little becomes much when you put it in the master's hand, when you are predestined to be here and you making the right choices. You're making choices to glorify God and not glorify your self-gratification, because you know a lot of people love self-gratification. Remind yourself, even when there's little, don't get discouraged. Don't get dismayed. Go to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 22 and understand how a little can become a thousand. And even something small can become large. And then there's another scripture, Proverbs 60 and 22. It says the same thing pretty much as Isaiah 60 and 22. I didn't never know, because it's only 30 chapters in Proverbs, so that can't be right. So that's a fault on Google. I'm going to have to correct them on. And then there's Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 11. God has made everything beautiful in his time. And he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end before time. That's where predestined comes in. Nothing can be done before time unless we choose to go outside of the will of God. And you will never know if you are, if you don't know God's unadulterated word. So stay in the word of what did God say. And as always, thank you for tuning in to WDGS, What Did God Say, on your podcast station. And until the next time, next go round, may the blessings from heaven flow down into your lives, meet all of your needs, even the things your heart desires. And may you continue to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. Make sure that you tap in and tune in. We're coming up with class number 2, Purpose. It will be May the 7th at 7 p.m. I hope to see you in the place. God bless, and bye for now.